through our conscience, God helps us to understand that there are these holy standards that we are supposed to keep because of the light of conscience and because of the light of creation. We realize there is this God with these standards. We realize there is this God who is the creator, and it ought to drive us to seek after God. But the question is this: is the light of creation and the light of conscience enough?
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way.
In last week's message, Pastor Brian Grant took us back to the Damascus Road, where a young Jewish zealot named Saul encountered the risen Christ. Pastor Grant looked at the changes brought to the life of this young man by this encounter that, as the Apostle Paul, resulted in his having the greatest impact upon the church of anyone other than Christ himself. This week, Pastor Grant examines the imperatives of the gospel, so associated with the ministry of Paul, as he answers from Scripture the question, are the heathen really lost? If you have your Bibles, please turn with us to the book of Romans, chapter 1, as Pastor Grant proves from Scripture just how important it is for every individual to have a personal encounter with Jesus Christ by believing the gospel. Now, here's Pastor Grant.
It was just past midnight when Tony Campola boarded a flight from Los Angeles to Philadelphia. Of course, you can imagine at that hour of the night, he was hoping that he would be able to sleep, but the man next to him had no such plan. The man next to him wanted to talk. Some of you know Tony Campola, and Campola is both a preacher and a sociology professor. And he found out that whenever he introduces himself as a sociology professor, people are usually willing to talk. But whenever he introduces himself as a preacher, they usually shut up. So the man next to him said to him, what do you do? So Campola said, I am a Baptist preacher. But the man had another plan. The man said, oh, you're a preacher. He said, do you know what I believe? I believe that going to heaven is like going to Philadelphia. There are many ways to get to Philadelphia. Some go by plane, some go by boat, some go by train, some go by bus. I don't believe it makes any difference how we go there. And that's what I believe about heaven. I don't believe it makes much difference because all roads lead to heaven. All you've got to do is believe sincerely. We all end up the same place. Campola didn't want to talk, so he said, profound. And he went to sleep. Hours later, they started descending to land in Philadelphia. And the airport was fogged in. Rain was beating on the plane. The wind was blowing. And some of you, if you fly a lot, sometime when the wind is blowing, the plane is unsteady. And you can imagine you're landing and the plane is just dancing. And as Campola looked beside him, the man was obviously nervous and tight. And you could sense it. And the fog was so thick. And as they were circling around, Campola turned to the man beside him and said, I'm certainly glad the pilot doesn't agree with your theology. So he said, what do you mean? The man asked. Campola said, the people in the control tower are giving him specific instructions. And I'm glad that the pilot is not saying, there are many ways into this airport. There are many approaches we can take. I'm glad the pilot is saying, they're giving me the only way to land this plane safely in these conditions. And I'm going to stick with what they say. Now, I don't know about you, but I believe Jesus when he said that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. I am still old-fashioned enough to believe that there is no other way to heaven than by the name of Jesus. How about you? But if Jesus is the only way to God, then what is the fate of those who have never heard of Jesus? Will they go to hell? Let me ask the question another way. Would God send someone to hell for not believing in a Jesus they never heard of? Have you ever stopped to ponder that question? It is a tough question. Would God send someone to hell for not believing in a Christ they have never heard of? It's a tough question, but it's a very fair question. You know, it's a question we need to know the biblical answer to. Particularly those of you who are in college or are going to college, or are some of you who are younger adults, even us old folks, we need to know the biblical answer, because skeptics will use this to make us question, is Jesus Christ the only way? Because a skeptic is going to get into your brain and make you start pondering, how could God be so unfair to send someone in Africa or in one of these Muslim countries to hell and they never heard of Jesus? There's a very important biblical principle that we need to grasp if we're going to accurately answer that question, are the heathen really lost? And today I trust that you will follow me very carefully. I want you to follow carefully. I want you to make use of the notes, because this is the type of message I believe it's going to be worth your while to go over and to get it sinking down deep. How do you answer the question? Are the heathen really lost? Is Jesus Christ really the only way? You see, it's easy for us in America to say he is the way, because of course we are bombarded with the gospel. But what about those in other places? Is Jesus really the only way? Today's text gives us an incredible illustration of the principle. But before we get to the illustration of the principle, I want us to look at the explanation of the principle. Are you with me this morning? Let's look at the explanation of the principle. Number one, God has revealed himself to everyone. Can you say that with me? God has revealed himself to everyone. I don't want you to miss that. And here's what the Word of God says. It says in Romans chapter 1. You see, here's what, you see, nobody deserves God's revelation. We were all unrighteous. The Bible says we're all unrighteous. But thank God, because of his mercy and his grace, he has chosen to shine his light on us. He has chosen to shine his light. And God has revealed himself to everyone in at least two ways. Number one, he has given everyone the light of creation. The light of creation. Romans chapter 1, verse 18 to 20. You can turn in your Bible or you can look at it on the board, whichever you prefer. Romans 1, 18 to 20. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is what? Is plain to them. Because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. I don't want you to miss this, that God has given every human being on the planet the light of creation. Creation tells us that God exists. Amen. This incredibly designed universe must have had a master designer. And I don't care what psychology or philosophy or zoology or whatever theology you are part of. This scientific mumbo jumbo that they taught me in school about everything came about by a big bang. The Big Bang Theory is nothing other than men trying to find another way, as this verse tells you, to suppress the truth. Do you notice that's what the verse says? It says that God has made himself clearly known to everyone through creation, but what we have done is to suppress the truth. Can you imagine, as one theologian said, the concept of a big bang that created this perfectly designed universe is so ridiculous. Who would believe that if you had all the parts of this watch as on the table, the watch, all these pieces were on this table, and I just threw the parts of the watch in the air. Who believes a watch would fall? Perfectly moving in perfect synchronized movement, the glass properly installed, the hands moving perfectly, keeping perfect time. Who believes you can throw the parts of the watch in the air and get this watch? And yet, the probability of throwing the watch in the air and it falling, the parts, and it falling as a perfectly designed watch, the probability is much greater of that happening than for a big bang to happen and this world formed with such order. For a human being, some of you are in medical school and you're studying the parts of the body, the incredible order and the design. Some doctors spend their entire life just concentrating on the little ear or some other gland in the body. So detailed is the design of God. This creation speaks loudly of the divinity that there is a God. There is a designer behind this. And so God says clearly, I have revealed myself to everyone through the light of creation. God says, I have made it plain. You see, I put in the notes the word suppress. Suppress means to forcibly restrain. It means to choke. So here God is telling, he's revealing himself to everyone, the existence of a divine maker, a creator. And he says, what is happening? As he gives light to everyone, some people have chosen to choke the revelation, to suppress it.
As a teenager, I'm excited to invite you to our new season of Tuesday Night Connections. The program includes the whole family with clubs for youth and kids, as well as 4 Bible studies for adults to choose from. Free dinner and childcare are also provided. You don't want to miss this. For details, call our office at 215-242-5550. Again, 215-242-5550.
We invite you to come and join us at our 10:45 a.m. worship service on October 18th as we celebrate our annual Friends and Family Day. We are located at the intersection of Stanton and Mount Pleasant Avenues in Mount Airy, Philadelphia. We look forward to seeing you. And now, let's return for the conclusion of today's broadcast with Pastor Grant.
I wonder if I hear him this morning speaking to someone who up to now you have refused to accept the revelation of God. Listen, you know, I just want you to know, for those of you who also want to share God's gospel, just remember that God is telling you that every single person has been given this plain revelation. Even that person who will tell you he or she is an atheist, give them the gospel anyhow, because listen, God has plainly revealed himself to them. This is what the word is saying. All that they're doing with spouting their stuff, that spouting, that foolishness that they're saying is coming from a desire to suppress the information that God has clearly given them. What an amazing scripture. Does it say clearly? Does it say that? The light of creation. But secondly, there is the light of conscience. The light of conscience. And in Romans chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, it says, when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do the things in the law, these, although not having the law, are a law to themselves, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts accusing or else excusing them. Why is it? Here's the question. Why is it that Gentiles who did not have the law actually did the things in the law? That's what Paul is trying to point out here. Paul is trying to make a point, and he's saying, have you not noticed that even the Gentiles who never were given the law, they don't know God's commandments, they don't know God's word, and yet somehow they're doing what God says? It's because God speaks to us through our consciences. That's why we feel bad when we do the wrong thing. Even that little baby who misbehaves. Nobody taught the baby to misbehave. But it's amazing, that child does the wrong thing and realizes they did the wrong thing. Do you realize a lot of what a kid does, he knows he shouldn't be doing? Your mommy told you not to touch that fire. She said, don't touch the wet paint. But something in you, there is something in us. There's this thing called the conscience. Sadly, the Bible says that some of us, our consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. It's not that we were born with a seared conscience, but because of our behavior, our consciences have been badly damaged. Through our conscience, God has given us enough light to let us know that there are holy standards for us to keep. Did you get that? Through our conscience, God helps us to understand that there are these holy standards that we are supposed to keep. And what God is hoping and the expectation, here's what ought to be happening. Because of the light of conscience and because of the light of creation, we realize there is this God with these standards. We realize there is this God who is the creator. And it ought to drive us to seek after God. Now, are you with me so far? If you're with me, say amen. But the question is this. Is the light of creation and the light of conscience enough for salvation? Is some, and the answer is no. You see, the light of creation and the light of conscience ought to be put within us a desire to pursue the third light. These are designed to propel us to seek after God. The light of the gospel that Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. The light of creation and conscience cannot save. But sadly, men and women suppress God's revelation and try to pretend he does not exist. Is that you? Are you here this morning? And so far, you have been trying to pretend God does not exist. You are living your life as if God does not exist. God, I am the mast, I'm the captain of my ship. I am in charge. But second, not only has God revealed himself to everyone, God rejects those who discard his revelation. I don't want you to miss that. God rejects those who discard his revelation. Here's what the Bible says in Romans chapter 1, verse 21 to 24. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like a mortal human being and birds and animals and reptiles. So let me pause here before I finish the verse. It's interesting what God is saying. God says, I have revealed myself to everyone what we have suppressed. His truth, and for some, the way the suppression of the truth results in them worshiping animals and all these things that they have created. You say, oh, I thought they did that because that's all they knew. No, no, no. God is saying, whenever you see people worshiping idols, it's because they are not trying to find the real God. This is a result of the suppression of the truth, a suppression of the revelation they have received. God expects us to respond to the light he has given us to seek after God. But then he goes on and he tells you another part. The American way of suppression, if you please. Not just us, but this is current in the news. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. Verse 24, and if you were to read verse 25, it says they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lust. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ways. One, the men abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. How in the world did God know what we were going to do in the year 2015? And God says, the result of our suppression of the truth, he says, God gives us up. God rejects us. God rejects those who do not respond to his revelation. And God says, do what you want to do. Do what you want to do. God rejects those who discard his revelation. I know what I'm preaching, and this is going to be on the radio, and I'm going to probably get some feedback on it, but it's in the book. God rejects. I'm supposed to preach a message that says God loves everyone and he's going to put everybody in heaven. But listen, God does love everyone and wants. Listen good. My Bible tells me God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And my friend, if you would come to Jesus, if you would come to Jesus today, it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter what you have done, he will save you by his grace. But he rejects. This God who loves is also a God who will reject. And the Bible says he rejects those who discard the revelation. He has given us revelation of himself through creation and through conscience. And if we decide, God, I don't want to find the living and true God, I'll make up my own God. God says, go ahead, do it. But I don't want to miss principle number 3. God guides those who respond to his revelation. I don't want you to miss that. God guides those who respond to his revelation. I'm going to use a very strong word. Listen to me. God is obligated to guide anyone who responds to his revelation and seeks to find the living God. Did you hear what I said? God is obligated. Anyone who is responding to his revelation and desires to find the living and true God, God is obligated to bring that person to Christ. Here's what Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 13 says. You will seek me and find me when you what? When you seek, what will you do? You will seek me and find me. The person who seeks God diligently with all his heart, God is obligated to help that person find him. Hebrews 11 verse number 6, it says, without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Aren't you glad for that verse? Aren't you glad that there's a God who is willing to help us to find him, and he will reward us?
Thanks so much for tuning in today. We trust this was a real encouragement to you. If you made a decision for Christ today, or if we can be of any spiritual encouragement, please contact us. Counselors are available to respond to your questions and to send you resources that will help in your walk with Christ. You can reach us weekdays at 215-242-5550, or by visiting our website, gcafamilychurch.org.
Living God's Way is the broadcast ministry of the Germantown Christian Assembly, located at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to join us for worship each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. and for Tuesday night community connections every Tuesday at 6 p.m. And now, on behalf of Pastor Brian Grant, Steve Washington, and our entire church family, this is Taylor Noble reminding you to tune in same time next week for another edition of Living God's Way.